Turn again, please, to that portion that we read earlier in Acts chapter 5. And with God's word open before us at this chapter of God's truth, let us bow in prayer and ask the Lord for his help as we come to consider God's word today. Let us all pray. Our loving Father in heaven, we bow humbly and reverently before thee again today. In Jesus' name, we thank thee for thy presence with us today again. And O God, we just pray now as we turn to the word of God afresh, that you would speak to all of our hearts. We pray, Lord, that you would hide man far behind the cross. And O God, that none would be seen save Jesus only. We thank thee for our Savior. We praise thee for the one who died and rose again, the one who is highly exalted, the one who is seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for his people. O God, we thank thee that the Savior is not on a cross today, nor is he in a tomb, but he is upon a throne. And we thank thee that someday you're coming again. And we believe, Lord, you're coming very soon. And O God, we would pray like John on the Isle of Patmos, ever so come, Lord Jesus. O God, we are looking forward to that day when we shall see the King in all his glory. And we thank thee for the blessed hope of the child of God, each and every one of us who are here, Lord, that you've saved by your grace and redeemed by your blood. What a day that's going to be for the Church of Jesus Christ when you come back and bring us home to glory. But O God, until that day comes, help us, Lord, to be faithful to thee. Lord, you've said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And what a responsibility we have, Lord, to spread the message of the gospel. We ask thee, Lord, that you would help us all to be preachers and to be missionaries and to be evangelists. Help us all to spread the message of Christ, even in these days in which we live. O God, in order to do this, we need thy power. And we pray, Lord, that you would come and fill us with thy gracious Holy Spirit. O God, come again and revive your church. To thee, Lord, we will give the praise, the glory, and every bit of the honor. Bless us now as we turn to thy word. O God, we just pray that you'll anoint us with thy power. Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. The last time we considered this chapter, we observed that there were three different types of spirits at the end of the chapter in Acts chapter 5. The spirit of conflict, the spirit of courage, and the spirit of compromise. Last Sunday night we looked at the spirit of conflict that was found in the hearts of the Sadducees against the apostles of Christ. And we noticed that this spirit of conflict was there because the Sadducees hated the message of the apostles. They hated the influence of the apostles, and they hated the holy boldness of the apostles. And we emphasized last week that this spirit of conflict would always be around as long as God's people stood up for truth and for righteousness, because the devil hates the message of Christ and the message of Christ's gospel. Today, as we take up our studies again in this chapter, the latter part of it, I want to draw your attention to the second of these spirits, the spirit of courage. This spirit of courage can be seen, I believe, very clearly in the lives of the apostles. There's no doubt that the apostles showed great courage in the midst of great persecution in Acts chapter 5. And as we come to consider this spirit of courage in the life of the apostles, I want you to see the reasons why the apostles had this great courage. Take a look with me at verse 29 and 30, and then verse 41 and 42 of Acts chapter 5. And you'll read these tremendous words. Verse 29, first of all. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree." Then look at verse 41. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Here we can see, I believe, very simply, the great courage that the apostles had in the day of great persecution. But why did the apostles demonstrate such great courage? Well, that's what we want to find out. And I pray that as we come to consider this subject today, that the Lord will have a message for each and every one of us, especially those of us who are saved today, those of us who belong to Christ. We live in an evil day. We live in a day when the gospel is hated more than ever. But thank God, although we live in an evil day, a day when the gospel is hated more than ever, thank God the Lord has promised to give his people strength to stand up for truth and for righteousness, to stand up for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray as we come to consider the reasons why the apostles had great courage in their day of persecution, that even in this day of persecution, that the Lord will give us as his people courage to stand for him and to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, I want you to notice that they had this great courage because of the duty that was demanded of them. Look what it says in verse 29, the latter part of it. We ought to obey. Underline those words. Peter and the apostles, they said, we ought to obey God rather than men. You know, there's no doubt that the Bible clearly teaches that the Christian has a duty to be subject to those in authority. In Titus 3 verse 1 it says that we are to obey magistrates. And also, if you take the time to turn over in your Bible to 1 Timothy 2 and read verses 1 to 3, you will see that Paul there, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, instructs us to pray for those in authority. Look what it says. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. However, the Bible clearly commands you and I, child of God, that when earthly authority seeks to prevent us from doing God's will, then we have a God-given duty as Christians to obey the authority of God rather than the authority of men. And this is what happened in Acts chapter 5. The apostles were not looking confrontation. They wanted to preach the gospel. That's what the Lord had commanded them to do. But the authorities of men were seeking to prevent them from carrying out the clear command of God. In Acts 5, human authorities come into direct conflict with divine authority. God had commanded the apostles to declare the message of the gospel. And although that command went against the Jewish authorities, for the Jewish authorities had commanded the apostles not to preach the gospel of Christ, the apostles were duty bound. And that's the point I want you to see. It's a very simple point, but it's clearly taught here in this passage of Scripture. The apostles were duty bound to obey God rather than men. Look at verse 19. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. So there's the command from God. And when they heard that, verse 21, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. Now, take a look at verse 28 and consider what the religious leaders said to the apostles. At the end of verse 28, it says, did not we strictly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. And then look at verse 29. In the context
of all that we have read. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Child of God, our first duty is towards God. And although we must seek to live peaceably with all men, we must always remember that what God commands is our first duty, and that first duty is to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The Lord very clearly revealed to the apostles their duty before He went home to heaven. It was to preach the gospel to all nations. And I know that you're familiar with Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, but let me just read you those verses. Here we have the words of the Lord Jesus to His disciples just before He ascended back up into heaven, and this is what He said to them, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. And that familiar verse in Mark 16, verse 15, where the Lord Jesus said to His disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And then, of course, we're familiar with Acts 1, verse 8, where it says, and ye shall receive power, Jesus says to His disciples, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So the Lord Jesus, before He ascended back up into heaven, He commanded the apostles to go forth and preach the gospel. And the lesson here is clear for us all to see. The Christian, you and I who are saved, must be subject to the will of God as it is revealed in the Word of God, no matter what men say or do. God's will for His church is to preach the message of Christ and bring that message to the whole world. Therefore, when the laws of men come into direct conflict with the laws of God, we are to obey God, whatever the consequences. And that's what's happening here in Acts chapter 5. The authority of men have commanded the disciples, you're not to preach this message. You're not to declare this message. And yet, God had commanded them, go into the temple and speak and teach the words, all the words of this life. In other words, everything that I have commanded you. That's what the Lord was saying to His disciples. Everything that I have commanded you to say, that's what you are to say. And you can see here that the apostles are obeying the command of their master because it is their duty to do so. Now, of course, this can be seen throughout the Bible, and there are many other examples that I could give you. Of course, one of the greatest examples, of course, can be found in the book of Daniel. In Daniel chapter 6, we read about Darius introducing a wicked and an evil law, forbidding men to call and to cry upon any god apart from him. They were not allowed to pray to anyone apart from him for a certain number of days. And we read there in verse 9, wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. And then in verse 10, we read this about Daniel. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he knelt upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. It was Daniel's duty to pray. It was Daniel's delight to pray. He longed to be in the presence of the Lord day by day. But it was also his duty to seek the Lord around the throne of grace. Therefore, when this wicked law was introduced to forbid him to pray to his God, he obeyed God rather than men. Now, we have the liberty in this country, praise the Lord, we still have the liberty to preach Christ and Him crucified, and we should never take that liberty for granted, and we ought to thank God day by day for the liberty that we have to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ, to meet in this fashion. But if the day was ever to come when the government of the day said, you cannot worship God anymore. You cannot pray to God anymore. You cannot preach Christ anymore. Then we must obey God rather than men. May the Lord in these days give us great courage. Of course, when you look across the world, there are many Christians imprisoned because they have preached Christ. And that's the only reason why they're imprisoned. And that's why we ought to pray for our persecuted brethren across this world. And many have lost their lives simply because they brought the message of the gospel to a dying world. Simply because they preached Christ and Him crucified. So why had the disciples, why had the apostles courage? Because it was their duty. They had a God-given duty to bring the message of the gospel. And although the authorities tried to stop them from bringing that message, praise God, that message continued and the apostles continued to preach the message of the gospel. But there's another reason. I want you to take a look at verse 30 and 31 here. Secondly, the apostles demonstrated this great courage, this spirit of courage, because of the doctrine that was delivered unto them. Not only because of the duty that was demanded of them, but because of the doctrine that was delivered unto them. Look at verse 30 and 31. The apostles said this, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." The doctrine that the apostles preached was concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. The apostles displayed this spirit of courage because they knew that the doctrine they proclaimed was right. Their preaching, in other words, was out of conviction. They were convinced in their hearts and they knew that what they were saying was God's truth. What did they teach about the Lord Jesus? Well, take a look at these verses and you'll see very quickly, you'll notice that they taught that Jesus was the Son of God, the Savior of the world. They said in verse 31, "Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a Savior." The word prince refers to one who is the captain or leader of the people. The prince is the Savior. He is the deliverer and preserver of his people. This title can only be given to the Son of God. Also, take a look at verse 31 and you'll see that they taught that only Christ had the power to forgive sins. "Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." In other words, the apostles were pointing out to the people and to the council that the Lord Jesus Christ was the only one who could forgive the sins of men. Take a look at verse 30. They taught that the Lord Jesus was a living Savior, an exalted Redeemer. "And God hath the God of our fathers raised up Jesus." Here, the apostles are emphasizing the fact that the Lord Jesus is alive and alive forevermore. Also in verse 31, they taught that Christ was an exalted Redeemer. Also, they taught that Jesus was a forgiving Savior and that he would forgive if men would repent. And this was the message that they declared. This was the doctrine that they were preaching. And they believed that doctrine. They believed it. The apostles knew that their doctrine concerning Christ was all true because they had witnessed and spoken to the resurrected Christ themselves. And this gave them courage in the midst of adversity because they knew that they were witnesses to a living God. Look at verse 32. "And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." Is it any wonder that they had the spirit of courage as they went forth to preach the message of the gospel? It wasn't a dead message. They just weren't presenting the people with a list of facts or with a list of theories, rather. They were presenting the people with facts because they knew that the one that they were preaching about was alive forevermore. And this gave them great courage because the one that had risen again had promised to be with them, and he was with them every step of the way. A child of God, this is the message of the church today. And the only message of the church. We are to preach Christ and Christ alone because it is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. When a person goes forward preaching the truth and knowing that it is the truth, then he will preach that truth with confidence and go forward with courage, whatever the consequences may be. And although the apostles were put in prison, they knew that the Lord was with them. They knew what they were saying was all true. The message of the apostles was true, and they knew it, and they believed it. Isn't it wonderful today, as we look around us in this world, we see sin abounding on every hand. Isn't it wonderful to know that we today have the truth? We today have the message of God, that the Word of God is inspired. The Bible tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And of course, we all know what the word inspiration means there. It means God breathed. Oh, child of God, let us not be cowed. The world would try to cow us. The devil would try to stop us from declaring this message. But let us not be cowed by the world or by the devil. But let us realize as we go forward presenting the message of the gospel that it is indeed the truth of God. Isn't it wonderful to know that as we preach Christ, that he has promised that he will bless his word? Indeed, he says in the Bible that his word shall not return unto him void, but it shall accomplish that whereto he descended. And even today, across this world, as the word of God goes forth and as the message of the gospel is preached, the Lord is calling in his church. Many are being saved by the grace of God. Isn't it wonderful that there is still power in the message of the gospel? That's why the apostle Paul could say, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." And as the apostles went forth with this message, although there were those who opposed them, those who imprisoned them, those who sought to shut them up, praise God, the Lord blessed that message. Oh, now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy. Lord Jesus found in me the spirit of courage. Why had they this spirit of courage? Because it was their duty to bring the message and to preach it. And because of the doctrine that they preached, the doctrine was the truth. It was all about Jesus Christ and what he had done and what he had accomplished. And that's our message today. Maybe you're in the meeting this afternoon and you're not saved. You're not born again of the Spirit of God. My friend, we have only one message for you. It's the message of Christ, him crucified, him resurrected, him glorified. Praise God, there's no other message that you need, but you need this message, and you need to embrace the Christ of this message, because except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And that's why we continue to preach Christ and him crucified. And that's why we continue to point men to the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And that's why we continue to emphasize that men and women need to get to Christ and find eternal redemption through the blood of the Lamb. For there's salvation in none other. You can't get to heaven any other way than through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't escape hell any other way but by coming and trusting him alone. I wonder this Lord's day, would you come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus?
Praise God if you do, if you come in repentance and faith. As this text of Scripture reveals to us, men must repent, turn from sin, and by faith trust this resurrected and exalted Lord. Praise God if you do. Then you can leave God's house today with all your sins forgiven, knowing that you're on your way to heaven. But there's something else I want you to notice. Another reason why the apostles had this spirit of courage. Thirdly, because of the dynamic power that was promised to them as they went forth to preach this message. As Peter and John took their stand for truth and righteousness on this occasion, they knew that the Lord had promised them his power in the midst of all the persecutions of human authorities. They knew God's power as they went forth doing the will of God. The apostles remembered the great promise of Christ before he went back to heaven. Take a look with me. Just turn over for a moment to John chapter 14 and underline these words. Here we have the promise of the Savior to his disciples. It says in verse 16 and 17 of John 14, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." And then, of course, Acts 1 verse 8, a text that we've already considered in these studies. But again, we have the promise, the Lord Jesus emphasizing the promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit with power in the lives of his people. Verse 8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses." The Holy Ghost came so that the disciples could be effective witnesses for Christ. And the apostles also, of course, remembered the coming of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. On that day, the promise of Christ was fulfilled to them. And we've already studied those verses in Acts 2, verses 1 to 4. And now in Acts 5, as Peter and John and the other apostles face the onslaught of the enemies of the gospel, the power of God, the Holy Ghost, came upon them. And with the spirit of courage, they did the will of God, irrespective of the consequences. Because God's power was upon them. They were filled with the power of God, the Holy Spirit. And because the Lord was with them, they could face anything. Even imprisonment, even death. If it came to that, look what we read in verse 41 and 42. You should underline these words. Now, these words, of course, were penned after the council imprisoned them, after the council threatened them, after the council commanded them not to teach or preach any more in the name of Jesus Christ. Look what it says in verse 41 and 42. "And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach." Underline what it says. They ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Oh, child of God, do you and I want to have this spirit of courage? Then we must recognize our duty. Obey God rather than man. We must know our doctrine, especially what the Bible teaches about Jesus Christ. We must pray for this dynamic power, because without the infilling of the Holy Ghost, we will be weak and ineffective in our stand for Christ. The great need of the church today, therefore, I believe, is to be filled with God the Holy Ghost. If we are, then we will know courage, and we will have courage to stand for Christ and his cause. We often sing that lovely hymn, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed.
Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey, forth to the mighty conflict in this his glorious day. Ye that are men now serve him against all numbered foes, let courage rise with danger and strength to strength oppose. Stand up for Jesus, stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Stand up for Jesus, the strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To him that overcometh, the crown of life shall be. They with the King of glory shall reign eternally. The apostles were not ashamed of Christ nor his gospel. Neither should we be ashamed in this 21st century, because Christ and his message has not changed. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And child of God, the century we live in may have changed, but our duty has not changed, our doctrine has not changed, and our power has not changed. Therefore, let us go forward with great courage, despite the attack of hell, knowing that Christ will build his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. There's a wonderful promise that is found in Luke chapter 21. And I want you to turn to this portion of Scripture just before we close today. As a promise that the Savior gave to his disciples before he went home to heaven. Today we have been considering this spirit of courage in the lives of the apostles in Acts chapter 5. We're going to see that spirit as we continue these studies. But I want you to read this promise. And this promise was not only for the apostles, not only for the disciples in the first century, but it was for the apostles today, for the disciples today in this age in which we live, for God's people in this 21st century. Look what it says in Luke 21. Look at verse 12, and we'll read down these few verses. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, and it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. Underline these words in verse 15. They're sweet. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay or resist. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom. In other words, when the day of persecution comes, when the day of adversity comes, the Lord will give us words to preach. The Lord will give us words to say. The Lord will give us wisdom to say them. He will fill our mouths. And I believe he will fill our mouths to exalt the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, child of God, let's not fear the enemy, but let us go forward in God's work, and let us go forward in our Christian lives, no matter what our circumstances may be. When men seek to cow us, when men seek to persecute us because of our faith in Jesus Christ, the Lord has promised that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And in the hour of adversity, by his gracious Holy Spirit, he will give us words and wisdom to answer our persecutors. And always give us words of wisdom to exalt his lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ.